All right. We are here. We are Galexis. Welcome to the question and answer period. So, where shall we begin?
All right, Galexis. So, the first question was from Valerie, and it's how do we release the authority we give to money?
All right. Well, essentially, giving authority to money is just essentially giving your power away to it. And so in the meditation, we're going to do a power retrieval. We're going to get our power back, okay? The authority part of that power, though, is the hegemony we were talking about, the corporate, religious, political narrative that sets up the authority that this is the way society is supposed to be and this is the way you're supposed to be in the society. That narrative, right? That's the authority part. They use money as a way of manipulating people to kowtow to maintain the status quo with them at the top. So the authority of money is essentially just the power you've given to the collective and you've given to money. And you can take it back as a power retrieval. And that's what we will be doing. Thank you.
Wow, that was a quick answer. Okay, so second question here. Please talk about older men that don't have money ending up being isolated, lonely, and then bitter.
All right, well. Well, in your culture, the gender training for men is that men have to be tough, independent. They have to be above emotions. They have to be strong, powerful, invincible. They have to be leaders. They have to be, cannot never be vulnerable, never be seen as weak. Well, what tremendous pressure this puts on men from the get-go. It seems that it works to a certain extent for some men. In boys and going into teenage years, it's tough. It's tough because the peer group of boys with each other can be absolutely brutal to each other. Boys can get beat up a lot, be fearful of being beat up, fearful of being humiliated, seen as a failure, and so forth. And so boys learn that they have to work their way up this hierarchy and they've got to get one point up and they've got to get a point ahead of somebody else. And there's this incredible competition. What this tends to do over time is that it leads to, you know, trying to succeed in the workplace through intense competition and achievement and so forth and so on. But it's not very fulfilling from a spiritual, emotional point of view. And so very often, you know, in the traditional system, now, fortunately, things are in the process of changing now, but in the traditional system, that men were the breadwinners and the women stayed at home, raised the children, the men didn't have as strong a bond and connection with the children as the women did. And if there was a divorce or there was conflict, very often the children would bond with the woman or the woman would get the children in any divorce settlement. The man was expected to be head of the household. He was expected to be the leader. And he felt, and this is part of the training, is that if he were successful enough, he would be loved. However, there's not that many top dogs in a culture. And there's never anybody that can tell you with authority, hey, you're successful enough, relax. No guy ever gets that. Nobody ever gets that it's enough, that they can kick back a bit, that they can take it easier, that they can open up their heart and become vulnerable and explore intimacy and connection with other people in the traditional pattern. As we said, it's changing now. But the question is about old men. And men who are old at this time were raised in that traditional pattern, and they were stuck in that limiting, painful box. But what that means is that if they were not successful financially, and if they were unable to allow themselves to be vulnerable and to bond and to have emotional connections, then they were having to try and control everything, be the authority, everything had to go according to them. They needed a woman to serve them. They needed to be taken care of. They needed to be of all the household stuff. That wasn't their job. They were supposed to be more important. They were supposed to be whatever. And they were supposed to have the money. But it doesn't turn out that way for some men. Some men have turned everybody away. They became curmudgeons and hurt people. Emotional wounds. People moved away. People left. People didn't want to be with them because they were so busy competing. They were so busy trying to control, trying to be the dominant leader that they thought they had to be in order to be okay. And this leaves them alone and lonely. Some women will put up with it. It's horrible to put up with, but some women will do that. And they will serve their man in the old traditional sense. That's also changing. When the more divorces are happening in middle age, when with the empty nest, it's like the woman says, "Okay, now I don't have to deal with this man anymore," and she files for divorce. There's so many divorces, and they come so much majority of them from women, which is contrary to what the old pattern of the old tradition would be. So an old man, after having spent all his life trying to achieve and succeed so that he could then be admired and respected and loved, becomes bitter because obviously that did not work. It did not pan out. He was given this promise by the egregor. It's promised by the culture. And the promise was broken. So that's what leads to that, right? So you didn't really have a question, but you said speak about that, and that's what we have to say about that. All right. Thank you for that question.
Okay, so here comes the next one. I have to scroll up into that area where the question is. And it's more than just, it's not really a question, it's more a comment from the same person who just asked the previous one. If I don't have money, I lose my family.
All right. Well, there's got to be something about you that is lovable by your family other than money. We would recommend that you seek to find what that is. To speak to your family about who you are and how much you love them and how much you're willing to be their support team on an emotional level as much as you can. Now, they had your wife had a promise from the egregor that she would marry a man and he would provide her with the money so that she could raise the kids. That's in the traditional system. All right. So, as far as she's concerned, if the guy's broke, for her, that's the promise being broken. if you can explain to them that both of you, that all of you, feel that the promise, the dream, got broken, that society didn't set it up for success for them and you, but that there are other ways perhaps that you can together as family, as beloved ones. No one serving the other. No hierarchy. Just you and she with the support and love that you can give emotionally and spiritually to the children and any other relatives that may be there too. We have to rethink it in a new way. And if she is angry, really angry, and she cannot forgive, then you have quite the roadblock there. All you can do is to continue loving, continuing to offer your companionship, your care. You can apologize. You can ask for forgiveness. You need to deal with shame because the culture is heaping shame on you and so is she. You would need to do that. Okay, so money being so important, you're going to really benefit by the meditation we're doing. What we've already done, taking the charge off the money. For you, the charge on the money is so huge that you're blocking yourself from getting money. If money is your family, money is your life, then you've basically put up a big wall and you're not going to get it. You first have to take down the wall. You have to accept yourself. And you're going to see this, you're going to go through this in the meditation. And you're going to allow yourself to open and to a new relationship with money so that you can receive it. And from there, what you can do to mend the fences between you and your family are going to be very important. And you probably should have some support and counseling and help for you to do that. So that's what we would recommend. Thank you.
So Galexis has spoken about money as an arena of challenge.
Yes.
So how do we release that in a way our higher selves get our attention, the friction with money? And what do we replace it with so that we have another way for our higher selves to get our attention?
All right. We're glad you asked that question, as a proverbial salesman would say. Because, yes, we've spoken about this before, that everyone has their favorite challenge in life. We say favorite because it's their chosen focus of challenge, and we call it the commission of challenge. You commission money to be your challenge. And when you have money challenges, it forces you to grow spiritually the best that you can. You learn and grow every time you go through financial crisis. You learn and grow more. You become more. You get to the next step. Conversely, also, you know, other people have it in health. Other people have it in their love relationships or their family member relationships. And some people have two out of those three. Some people have all three, not that many, but generally there's one that's the biggest. If money is your biggest challenge, if that's your commission of challenge, then, again, you're going to love this meditation. Because Because you can give up that challenge and you can learn and grow proactively. This is what you have to do when you leave the consensus anyway. When you expand beyond the consensus, when you evolve beyond the consensus, then you, in a sense, give up the commission of challenge. And what happens then is that rather than always being a stress challenge, it becomes a positive challenge. Now, the positive challenge is that you are learning proactively on how to create abundance and prosperity. It's not like you're focused on processing out the scarcity consciousness and the failures and the loss, okay? You're actually able to move forward and break through old boxes, old financial limitations, and keep opening them and opening them, because every time you've opened up a box, and we've talked about this extensively, so we're not going to go into it in detail here, but every time you bust a box of one level and you step out of it, you get a test. And this test is what comes from your subconscious mind, which is trying to keep everything consistent. And the subconscious mind says, oh, you're going to a new level. That's not consistent with your bottom line or where you've always been. Oh, so we're going to bring you a scenario to bring you back to your bottom line. So that scenario shows up as a yet again, the same old kind of challenge, maybe dressed a little bit differently, looking a little different, but it's the same challenge. You have to understand that when the challenge shows up, you have to say, no, I'm not going to fall for you this time. No, I insist that I no longer am going to have charge on money. I'm going to have money as my friend. I'm going to allow myself to receive abundance and prosperity from the collective, from the culture. Okay, so, but it takes a lot of will, because you have to be very conscious that you're not just going to automatically, boom, go right back into that little pit where you have tended to go before when you're challenged and stressed, and you go back to that same place, and then you have to learn and grow and build yourself out of there again. You don't have to do that anymore. But you have to catch it before you shrink back to that self in the box that you were. Because with the challenge, with the test, comes that fear or terror and rage. You know, when you're out of the box and you get challenged to go back into the box, which is what the collective is trained to do for you, you know, and the guardians of freedom are standing there scaring the bejesus out of you, you have to be aware that's what's going on, so that you are not just automatically knee-jerk going to shrink back into and run back into the box. You've got to stand there in your power, in your light, and say, no, I've processed that. I've done that. I don't need to do that anymore. I'm choosing this new level. I'm choosing a higher level. So I'm going to do that now. Now, once you do that enough, then the challenges, those types of stressful challenges, will either slow down or cease, because you catch them so fast, you're like, okay, no, I won't go there. And you'll stay luminous, huge, bright, divine being. You'll stay in a greater self-image. And then you will find that you'll either choose, so if you feel like you're not ready to be totally 100% successful and happy, you might choose one of the other two as a commission or challenge. So be careful. Watch out for that. What you want to do then is to proactively do meditations for money and so on, not from the needy place, not from a child place, not from an adolescent place, not from a young adult place, not from a fantasy place. No, you need to do it as a powerful reality creator, which is who you are. And then you will be able to proactively work on the theme of money. Instead of the issue of money, it's the theme. And you're making a roadmap for yourself to money as a spiritual person. All right. So that's what you generally will replace it with. All right. Thank you.
So right now, this is the last question. Alexis, what can we do about our U.S. government spending out of control now that they realize they can just simply print money?
What can you do personally? All you can do personally as an individual is to be very clear about your relationship with money and allow prosperity and abundance into your life. Because you see, in the grander scheme of things, you've come here to do some creation work. You've come here to help the planet go from 3D to 5D. Okay, you've helped you're going to find that pathway yourself. You're here wrapping up the whole idea of karma and birth and death and rebirth and whatever. You want to transcend this. You want to ascend. You want to move on. And right now on the planet, there's a whole bunch of you who are the next graduating class coming, you know, to go, to lift beyond the collective, to lift beyond the consensus, to the place where spiritual teachers of the past, the great mystics and spiritual teachers have resided. You're going there. You're heading there. So the collective, you know, when you're looking at the government and religious leaders and so on like that, you can see that the government is run by people who have a tremendous investment in their own well-being and nobody else's. And so you can have to understand that when things like this happen, it's the responsibility of the people to elect leaders who will be responsive to the people. And when you have leaders who are not responsive to the people, who basically make policies that only serve their own pocketbooks, that serve their own power attrition, power achieving, achieving, power achieving, excuse us, power achieving. So that you've elected the wrong people. So you need to have a vision of what a government for the people, by the people, and of the people really is like. One that respects the people. But you personally as an individual must hold this in your mind as what reality you choose to live in the future. You want to hold this as a future dream. And then you want to hold your own future self in that dream. You want to see yourself prosperous and abundant and living in a country where the government is becoming more responsive and not just spending taxpayer dollars for the heck of it to build up excessive military that suppresses the people, or to spend it on frivolous projects or to put it in the pockets of politicians. So this is your job as a spiritual being, because ultimately, eventually, you will see it and you will get it, that this whole reality, completely down to every last minute detail, was created and co-created by you and your team specifically for you. And just imagine that you are all that is. It's all you. In other words, that rambunctious spending of the government. There's maybe a part of you, maybe your adolescent self, an immature part of yourself, that if you were in that position, oh man, this is fun. This is fun. Let's just put all this money on our pet projects. Who cares if the country goes bankrupt? We'll just print more money. Hey, no problem. What part of you would would enjoy that? What part of you would be willing to sacrifice the needs of the people for your own personal pleasure and joy and fun and prestige and ego? Right? Look within yourself and clear this out of your inner adolescent, because that's generally where it is, or young adult. They're the ones who would like to be the top dogs and be the gods of the nation or whatever. So you just clear that type of stuff out of you so that you can hold the resonance of the reality creator that you really are. And as you move towards that in yourself, you will have more prosperity and abundance. You will have more security. You will have more safety. You'll have more fun. You'll have more joy. And you will see that in your reality, in your world, that people will rise up and say, no, stop doing this, government. Because the government's not really doing it as the government. It's doing it because of the shadow government, which once again we're talking about is the corporate religious hegemony. In other words, it's corporate religious political, evil union, evil triad, right? Anyway, these are the top dogs of these, and they're running the government for their benefit instead of the people running the government. So the people have to rise up and take it back. So why don't you create that in your reality, starting by you taking your power back, by you having a new relationship with money and with your future. Now, we did a seminar on working with your future. And so we'd recommend that you can take this, what we do today, and then you can go to that seminar and you can plug it in and do your future work there. But you realize, ultimately, it's all you. It's just you. This whole universe is really you. Everything that you see, all the people that you know, etc., it's all illusion. You've created us talking to you doing about these, right? It's just the illusion. So when you get to a big enough place of expanded self-image and knowing of your divinity, you'll get this. But in the meantime, we suggest following those directions we just gave you. So thank you.
All right, so stuff has come in between.
All right.
The question here is, with so much changing on our planet now, is there any new techniques you can give us to use? I suppose it's got to do with a green candle ritual.
Oh, the green candle ritual is a personal ritual. It's for you personally. And just as we have answered in the previous question, when you clear your personal path, then you can then dream with way more power the collective path. Because ultimately, you will lead the collective. You will lead the consensus. And that's something we're going to connect you with in this meditation as well. We did a couple of weekend seminars. We don't know if they have been updated and are available, but we did two seminars called Emergence 1 and Emergence 2. And Emergence 1 and Emergence 2 were essentially about how you can put yourself into such a position that you can lift into your own success, and then you can lift in beyond the collective, and you can bring the collective with you. You can be a leader of the collective. Now, we're going to address a lot of that over this series, and particularly starting with this one, because this is a critical piece to being able to manifest money in your life, especially when you're a spiritual person. Okay, so so we would just recommend doing some of that work and just seeing that it's not time yet with your green candle ritual. You don't do that for the planet. You do that for you. You build up your resources. You build up your financial base But you dream the world changing. You dream the world lifting. You dream the world moving into prosperity and abundance, because there is the capacity for everyone to be prosperous and abundant. It's like there's 26 individuals that own, that have so much money that they have as much money as the bottom half of the 3.5 billion people of the planet. It's 26 people. And, you know, that's very imbalanced, okay? If the money was distributed a little bit differently, we're not suggesting that this is going to happen or should happen necessarily, but if it were distributed, people everywhere, all the people, would live well. Okay, so dream something to that effect. Dream where people can be prosperous. And unfortunately, if you look at cultures that are taken over by dictatorships, strong men, okay? And it doesn't matter whether they're on the right or the left, although there's more of them on the right right this time. But strong men dictators, that's patriarchy. That's when you see strong men, and Trump is one, and you've got them all over. You know, you've got in Korea, North Korea, you've got, you've got quite a few of them around the planet, these strong men. Wherever you see a strong man, and that's really a misnomer. It really should just be dictator, right? Anytime you see a dictator who makes his own policies regardless of the laws of the land, all right, whether it's right wing or left wing, these are cultures in which the economy goes down for the people in the lower half, that it's more struggle, more suffering, and this is where the hegemony, the top dog hegemony, the narrative of the ruling classes, has taken over, and where the people in the lower classes, middle class on down, need to wake up and take their power back. And it's starting to happen. It is. It's starting to happen. When you have a culture, though, that is much more driven by laws and it's more horizontal, it doesn't have as much top down, right? Some of them are mostly, those are kind of like a democratic socialist kind of things, like Sweden and Denmark and so on. You find the standard of living is really good for everybody. So you can look at that and say, oh, you know, but, you know, the people, when they make a lot of money, they tax them really heavy. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. But, hey, look at how happy the people are. Look at how comfortable people live their lives, that they get to have something other than work dominate their lives. They get to have, you know, friends, families, projects, interests. They get to spend time developing that even during their 40s when in the U.S. it's all work, 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 raise a family, work, work. Where is some room to do anything else? Because money drives so much. Money is so important. There's so much pressure to earn because of expenses are so high because of the push, 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 and competition, competition. Where you have lessened the competition and made it more horizontal, you'll find the greater happiness and success. So dream it. It may not look like Sweden or Denmark, but start dreaming it. Start imagining it. You are a powerful reality creator. You can participate in that, and you came here to do that. You came here to dream, not just for yourself, but also for the world. And you will join the rest of the dreamers, the society of dreamers, as we call them, beings on the other side, on this side, all over the world, who are forming who have formed a network of the dreams and hopes of a new world. And it's opening up. Things are coming. If you notice, there's a lot of, like in the U.S., for example, there's the progressives over here on the left, they're bringing a new narrative. They're bringing a not a corporate religious political hegemony from the top dogs. They're bringing a new one. Now, it may not be the best one, but it's got to be good in the sense that it's got to challenge the narrative that right now is driving the country. The economy is roaring for the upper classes. It's fabulous for the upper classes. But if you really look at the lower classes, it's not quite so good. Right? It's not really much more beneficial. It's maybe even more stressful as its rents go higher and all the cost of living raises, but the salaries and income doesn't. So you dream it. You dream out of this. You dream us out of this. You're it. You're it. All right. Thank you, dear Juan, for that question.
That's it.
All right. And thank you, all of you, for those questions.